Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, making it happen, man. Just got settled in Florida last week, you know, enjoying rocking the shorts and the warm weather, and excited the rest of the team's making their way down here as well. So it's all really exciting stuff. How about you, Gino? How are you doing today?
Well, off to a great start this year. We've got a book launching in a couple of weeks called Creative Cash. We've got the whole team moving down to St. Augustine. My son made President's Club, Josh. I can't believe he's got A's first semester of college. He did not take after me, my friend. So excited about that. I'm having a great time. Let's introduce our guest today, Josh.
And welcome to the show, Bill. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I've been listening to this podcast for 5 or 6 months now, and I'm really honored to be invited.
Listen, Bill, what I want to do is I want to dive into you and your story and how you got into real estate. So give the listeners a little bit more on your background and then how and why you decided to get into real estate investing.
Well, I've been doing this a long time. I focused on smaller investments for many years, was a property manager along the way, did a lot of rehab, got involved originally. Because I was 21 years old and not a great student in my junior year of college. And, it was the same thing, substandard grades. And, I started worrying about my future. Mm-hmm. So, a friend at the restaurant I worked at had a few properties, and he referred me a book that, I quickly read, and off I went. I was jumping into the real estate investing very, very quickly after.
Mm-hmm. Bill, what do you like most about the business? You've been doing this for probably 3 decades now. What attracts you to real estate?
The attraction to real estate is what I've just started focusing on primarily. Mm-hmm. It's the finding the deal. Mm. It's seeing the value in the deal or the value add in the deal. Mm-hmm. Getting the funding, closing on that deal and, putting it in the portfolio. Mm-hmm.
So Josh, he's talking about buy right, manage right, and finance right. He's talking about all three legs because Bill's an owner operator. He's not doing it on the side. This is his full-time gig. That's what I love about Bill and his portfolio. And he's doing it in New York. Bill, we were just talking off camera before. You just closed on the 12 unit when you joined Jake and Gino, and now you've got a 39 unit. How are you finding these deals right now? Everyone out there is saying there's no deals. I can't find deals. What are you doing out there right now to find the deals?
Well, fortunately, by being in the business for such a long time, I do have a lot of contacts, and I am well known in the real estate investing world in the Albany, New York area. So, mm-hmm. Over the years, it's such as life. You can go 6-8 months where nothing is there. And then, 2-3 deals can come across your desk in a short period of time. So, mm-hmm. So you never know. What I realized early on was, you got to be looking 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And when that opportunity presents itself, you got to be there And if it's the deal, you know, you know it, mm-hmm. you know, based on, you know, the numbers and just walking, you know, through that property, you know, it's the excitement builds up, and you've got to act. If you don't, someone else will.
Mm-hmm. So what is a deal for Bill Hamill? When you're looking at a deal and you get excited, you get that little chill down your spine. You're like, this looks, I like this. It could look like Chernobyl, but you know, when you walk in there, you're like, this guy, $300 below market. You've got 7 units. We can add 2 units, self-storage. What does a deal look like to Bill Hamill?
Well, you know, there's early on, it was smaller properties, and you know, mainly my focus was, you know, seeing the deal in a great neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
Great floor plans, knowing that the end game would be an easy property to rent,
mm-hmm.
And an easy property to rent to a great tenant. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the name of the game. The yes. name of the game is your success or failure is based on who you're putting in your apartments.
I love that, so, everybody. Repeat that, because that is great. Repeat that, please.
That is the book. It's mm-hmm. it's who you're putting in your apartments is ultimately success or failure.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know why, Josh? We gloss over that sometimes. Everyone's always focused on the buy right and syndication and closing the deal. But ultimately, that wheel of the wheelbarrow, that manage right, is where you make money. And that's where you have these residents in your apartments long term, paying down your debt, not damaging your property. And it's what we call the ROE, the return on effort. There's less effort for Bill to manage these residents because he's done work on the front end to buy those properties and to, you know, rehab those properties and get good quality residents in there. I'm sorry, continue, Bill. I just got excited for a second. I was like, finally, someone's talking about manage right. I love it, dude.
So, you know, the location was always key, and then the ability to make sure that, to ensure that you're going to get a good tenant in short order. But otherwise, it's, you know, seeing what that rent potential is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I took a lot of opportunities in the rehab where, you know, you're buying a property for a lesser amount. You know, you develop the construction knowledge or rehab knowledge where you're able to determine, you know, what type of investment needs to be put in and the finished value. So being familiar with your market allows for all of that. Mm-hmm. I did it over and over and over again for many years where you're buying low, mm-hmm. putting some money into the property. And the finished value equaled instant equity.
Mm-hmm.
Then renting to a qualified tenant, instant cash flow. So over time, when you build a portfolio, you can see the snowball effect. Mm-hmm. You're building equity, you're building cash flow as you're building a portfolio. So the inevitable is wealth building.
Mm-hmm. Josh, there's so many points I have to like really rehash there. The first one, everybody, I'm going to break this down because it's really important. Cost basis is your purchase price, plus any CapEx or any additionals on there. So Bill knows the valuations in his market. Very, very important. The second thing is it's a long game, right? You're not going to get wealthy overnight. You're not going to get wealthy by buying Bitcoin and flipping it 3 weeks later because that money evaporates, right? Bill actually has a plan. He has a framework. He's going in. He's doing a lot of the hard work on the front end. Bill, how do you figure out, how did you learn the valuations in your market? Like, you know, cost per unit, expenses and all that kind of stuff. Other than doing like, you know, if you the listeners that are listening, how can they get a head start on that and say, I want to really learn valuations in my market?
Well, it's funny. I started, at 21. So, you know, my original market was where I was hanging out in mm-hmm. college. Uh-huh. So it was funny when you're just, hanging with friends, renting apartments around the college.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you start, you know, doing the math a little bit without having any real knowledge of the business,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're like, oh, this building is for sale for this price. How much do you guys pay in rent? And you just do some simple math, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's simple math to analyze the smaller investments. And, you know, before I even decided to get into investing, you know, I had a pretty good idea of what this style apartments in this neighborhood were renting for.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And then take it one step further. When did you really start diving into these deals and looking at cap rates and expenses and income? Did you have a portfolio already, or did you start doing it from the very get-go?
My original way to analyze was strictly cash flow analysis, mm-hmm. where, you know, I knew what I can get it for. I saw what the debt was going to be. You know, you put the operating expenses on top, you know, with you know, the monthly rent. Mm-hmm. So I was breaking it down on a monthly cash flow basis. Mm-hmm. So I originally got involved, you know, with the intent of doing no money down deals. Mm. So as long as, you know, however I had to fund that deal, no matter how I did it, as long as the rents covered the expenses and, you know, the property location and the floor plan, you know, fit my criteria, I was a buyer.
That's awesome. I love that. So you've had that transformation from those smaller deals, looking at doing the monthly cash flow analysis, getting into, I guess, a much more, not want to say complicated, but a definitely more bigger, deeper of a dive. Now, Bill, you've built up a significant portfolio, and most people would say, you know, why did you go for education? You don't need education. You're so successful. Why waste the money on getting educated? What would you say to anybody out there who has that mindset?
Well, I am an expert at smaller rental properties, mm-hmm. You know, for which I should. I've put in a lot of time and my heart and soul in our reality. The first 10 or 12 years, it basically get out of my way. You know, I was ready to take over the world. So once I got into larger multifamily, you know, that's where, you know, I still do the monthly cash flow, even on the 39 unit, because mm-hmm. it's always what I've done. So I really like to see what that monthly cash flow is going to be. Mm-hmm. But also utilizing, you know, the multifamily or commercial real estate, returns on investment formulas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're doing it from a two-prong approach, but, you know, getting into larger multifamily, you know, there's a lot of differences, mm-hmm. You know, to the small properties. So, fortunately, it's a pretty easy learning curve, mm-hmm. but it is a learning curve. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, there is a entirely different way to underwriting and due diligence and even managing, you know, it's going from the small game to the big game.
Mm-hmm. And how's that transition been? How have you felt over the last few months going through that transition? And you're saying it's an easy learning curve because you're a lot smarter than Josh and I, that's for sure. So for us, for myself, it was a long learning curve for me. So, you know, how's it been? How's, you know, taking over the 39 unit? How's that gone?
It's gone very well. You know, realizing right at the start that in this competitive market where deals are difficult. Mm-hmm. When I originally spoke to you guys, you know, I was having the same difficulty as everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's still the same environment where you look at the, you know, listing service and the traditional ways of buying properties, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. You know, everything has become off market and, you know, being in tune. But the 39 unit has gone, you know, very well due to the numbers work. It was in a location that is very appealing to me. I know I can rent the apartments very easily to good tenants, and 1988 build, which was very exciting because I'm used to owning, you know, buildings that are 100 years old or more. You know, I've got historic stuff that is up in the, you know, 130, 140 years old. You know, so a 39 unit built in 1988 with cookie cutter apartments, you know, where you can literally budget your turnovers to a T. Mm-hmm. You know, when you turn over one apartment, now I know what it's going to cost to turn over every apartment. So it seemed like, you know, that as we stabilize, you know, that this is, yeah, it's a 39 unit, but it's going to be a systemized process, mm-hmm. and it's easier to forecast, you know, where you're going to end up. So I'm very confident that my pro forma will be realistic. Mm-hmm. And then that's always the challenge is, you know, you're buying at current numbers, you're doing your pro forma on how it's going to be managed after you do your value adds and rent increases and improvements, you know, but sometimes those pro forma numbers, you know, don't end up the way you planned. Mm-hmm. Where in this case, I think it's going to be very realistic based on the property.
So everyone, there's a few nuggets in there as well. So what I want you to think of, Bill is buying on a pro forma. He's not buying on the broker's pro forma. He's buying on his pro forma. Very important that we teach the students in the Jake and Gino community. You're going to buy in actual numbers, and then you're going to do a pro forma for yourself. Are you going to hit those? You need to be conservative in this part of the market. That's very, very, very important. The other thing is, I saw his excitement. He's buying in the three pillars of real estate in this part of the market cycle, a newer asset that's not going to take a ton of work to do it. A 1988 build is a newer build. So you're not going to have to worry about roofs that are really old, driveways that are really old, cast iron plumbing, all of that. So his CapEx expenditures are probably going to be less on this. And I think the third thing, Josh, that's really exciting is the scalability, the 39 units where they're, you know what, like he said, you can scale it and it kind of, will you do one? You can do the same thing. So anybody out there who has single family homes, that should ring true to you because every home is different. Hot water heaters are in a different location. You have AC units in a different location. Bill's property is going to be the same thing when you turn one apartment to the next. He's going to have it down to a science, a 5-day turn. So that's really, really exciting. Bill, what do you have on the horizon? What's the next thing? What's the next thing that you want to accomplish in real estate?
Well, my goal is to, you know, continue to scale. So, you know, up until I made the big decision to, you know, step aside from hands-on property management, you know, with the intent of getting into much larger properties, you know, the, you know, going from my previously largest property was a 30 unit. And then, you know, this 39 unit to come along seemed like it was a perfect stepping stone. Mm-hmm.
And how was that, Bill? How did you feel that by leaving that hands-on, the I'm a mentality, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, to like, you know what, letting go and thinking, this is how I scale. How did that feel?
I'm free. I am absolutely free.
What took you so long then?
I agree that if I was to say that, one huge mistake that I have made was by being a hands-on property manager for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, it was funny over the years when you accumulate a portfolio and then 10, 15 years in, you know, you're wondering, either talking to a partner or, you know, brainstorming yourself and saying, geez, I haven't had a deal in a while. And I used to love to find the deal. I was great at doing the deal. And it occurred to me, I'm like, I went from a full-time deal finder, mm-hmm. property accumulator, mm-hmm. to a 60-hour-a-week property manager. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not finding the deals because my focus went from finding the deal to, you know, managing properties 7 days a week. And ultimately I was so intense with it, you know, I had this vision of, you know, giving our customers the best service we possibly could, because the tenants or residents are our customers. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy business that way. Mm-hmm. And I found out the hard way for the first 10 years that there's a lot of moving parts to being a landlord, especially when you're renting a lot of older properties, older apartments. There's things that happen. Mm-hmm. I quickly realized that, hey, if I'm going to do this, I got to do this professionally, mm-hmm. to the point where, you know, we need to offer a great service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was just way too involved because I was so focused on that. Mm-hmm. And you know, that really seeking that, you know, high tenant retention, high tenant referrals, and it worked. It went really, really well, but mm-hmm. it just devoured me.
Mm-hmm. Bill, do you mind if I share a story with you about my journey?
Sure.
So I was having a conversation this morning with my wife, and your story resonates so loudly with me. I mean, sometimes God works in mysterious ways. He put this story in my mind because you're sharing the same story as me. When I'm at the restaurant 10 years ago, why didn't I hire a chef and pull myself out of the day-to-day? Why am I washing dishes? It is because I became comfortable like Bill Hamill. I was good at what I did, and I didn't seek to grow. I don't know if you did, but I was like, you know what? I'm doing okay here. Meanwhile, I'm working in the business. I'm not working on the business. There's the light bulb, right? And I'm like, man, if I had gotten a chef to take over my day-to-day, I could have finished a cookbook sooner. I could have come out with a physical product sooner. I could have been building the brand sooner. I could have maybe opening up another couple of locations, a food truck, whatever. This list goes on and on. Instead, Gino's in the kitchen like Bill for 10 years worrying about, you know what, did we send that lease out? Did we do this? Meanwhile, we could have been hiring people for 15 or 20 bucks an hour doing that, implementing systems, but not knowing about the systems because we didn't want to know, because we were really good at what we did. And we thought activity led to growth and led to profits. No, generating, you know, business generating activities like finding deals, like closing deals, right? Like flipping deals. That's where we make the money in real estate. And I think Bill's story really struck a chord with me this morning, because I was just speaking about it with my wife. I'm like, man, and it's not a mistake, Bill, because that's not a mistake for me, because that led me to where I am today. If I didn't do that at the restaurant, I'd probably still be there. So I'm glad that I did that. And I'm glad you shared that story with me, because it's really powerful. So when you did that, that's why the Jake and Gino community allows students to do that. They allow to see, hey, there's other things to do. There's systems out there that we can implement. So right now, you're out of that day-to-day. You're continuing. Right now, you're what we call a deal dog. Is that what you're looking for? You're just looking for that next deal, correct?
Yeah, that's it. That's the fun part. Mm-hmm. Especially going through the journey. Mm-hmm. There's only so much time in a day. Mm-hmm. You certainly realize that, when you get into your 40s and you have to focus on the needle mover type stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's part of the scaling up. You know, the small properties were great. You know, they did what they were intended to do. Mm-hmm. But once you start adding commas and zeros, you know, to the larger deals, mm-hmm. you know, like the 39 unit is one deal, you know, where, you know, when you're doing smaller properties, you know, that would take me 5 or 6 or 7 years to accumulate small properties that would just match this one 39 unit.
I love that. Josh, any questions for Bill before we go to the break?
No, Bill, I got some really good questions for you in the short answer portion. So I'm excited to dive into that.
So let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors. Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, Bill. So quick question for you, man. Let's say I'm a brand new investor. I'm listening to the podcast. I want to get into multifamily. I know it's a great vehicle, but I haven't made the move yet. What tip or advice would you give to that person?
I would reach out to a local landlord club. You know, they are in most locations where I'm sure you could go to a landlord club as a guest, and you know, you're going to find, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 people that have a lot of properties, or some people that are in the same position you are, where they're there because they are interested in investing in real estate. Mm-hmm. So it's no different than the Jake and Gino community. It's, you know, getting in the proximity of like-minded people, mm-hmm. You know, with varying experiences, and, you know, clicking with whoever you can, you know, to get some insight, mm-hmm. You know, find a mentor, somebody that's able to just give you those tips, mm-hmm. You know, the nuggets on anything, whether it be location, whether it be, you know, what type of, you know, apartment you're looking for. You know, just general familiarity with the market, ultimately, you know, that those types of people can set you up for success in the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, until you really get a good feel for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Bill, listen, I love that, right? Success leaves clues, and if you can get around people that are doing it and then think and act like them, then the results should logically follow. So love, love, love that. Tell me about one of your best deals you've ever done at a high level and why you love that deal so much.
One of my best deals, you know, the one that really will always resonate with me, you know, was, probably 20 years ago. It was an auction property. And this is exciting because, you know, you see the auction sign. You know, you see this commercial property that was way over my head, you know, for what I was doing at the time. But at the time, I didn't have a huge portfolio, and you know, I was a buyer. So I attended this auction in a great location I was very familiar with. And I really didn't think that I was going to do anything at this auction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it begins. You know, there's really no activity. And next thing you know, if no one else is going to say anything, I guess I will. You know, so after going back and forth a few times, there's probably two or three people bidding on it. And I ultimately, you know, won that auction, where, you know, you're buying a commercial property, you know, 30, 40 cents on the dollar. Uh-huh. But quickly realizing, shortly after, you know, I had the deposit I could put down, you know, but then realizing, okay, I gotta close this in 30 days. No problem. It's a great deal. Mm-hmm. So now I go to my banks, and I found out very quickly that banks don't like to lend on vacant commercial properties. Uh-huh. So, but what's the problem? It's a great deal. So, you know, here was the challenge, and I made it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately, one of the banks took a chance with us. You know, they did what they normally wouldn't have. You know, they lent on a vacant property. You know, they were very conservative with their lending, but it was enough to allow us to get in. Mm-hmm. We did some value add with some construction, and then ultimately flipped that property in a year's period of time, where it was, you know, pretty much doubling your money. Mm-hmm. You know, at that point in my career, that deal was huge for me.
Well, I think probably huge for you also. It was more one of those things saying that I can do it, right? I am here. I can do it. Now the next challenge that comes, it's believing in yourself and having the ability to say, I did this one. The next one's not going to be that big of a deal. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's the type of stuff where when you're challenged, mm-hmm. You know, especially big challenges that take real serious solutions, that's just makes you better. Mm-hmm. You know, so it allows you to get to that next step.
Love it. Bill, what about your best habit for success?
My best habit, I started doing probably well over 10 years ago. You know, it's that morning routine, mm-hmm. You know, I learned a few things after following Tony Robbins, which led me to, you know, people like Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer type messages. Which was mind blowing to me, you know, all three of those leaders, you know, which led me to meditation in the morning, sitting quietly, you know, with intent. Gratitude is huge, and you know, after that ritual of the morning routine. You know, you focus in on, you know, your critical path items for that day. Ultimately, the things that make a difference, and trying not to distract yourself, you know, with the menial tasks that really don't make that much of a difference.
I love that.
Yeah, I agree. Activity versus accomplishment, right? It's Pareto's principle. What's the 20% to move the needle, 80%? So huge on that. Bill, I got to say, man, this episode is chock full of just nuggets of gold. And a few of them that really stood out to me is, you know, really to give the ability to scale, you got to focus on working on a business, not building yourself a job and working in it. And I think that's such a key factor in your journey. Another one is in a competitive market like this, how you're able to attract deals is by having that reputation and credibility, and you've built that for yourself. So that's so important as an investor. And then lastly, why we love multifamily, right? Systems, scalability, predictability. So a lot of theory and why we scale up. Gino, what do you have to add to that?
So Josh and Bill, I want to just recap Bill's story because I think it's an amazing story. So everyone listening, picture this. You have a young Bill Hamill sitting on a lawn chair in college, 21 years old, drinking a beer. He's not going to hit President's Club, but that's okay because that's not his journey. He's a decent student, but he sits around and he's looking at these apartments and he's like, hold on a second. They're renting for this much. The bills are this much. This looks like a pretty good deal. I like this real estate thing. And Bill starts doing small deals. He starts getting into multifamily and doing small deals. And as his career develops, he starts buying these small properties up in Albany and he starts growing the portfolio. He starts getting into property management. And then he starts seeing that he's getting into the weeds, right? And he's doing business and he's doing it full time, loves it. But all of a sudden, the love and the passion of the deal dog, of finding the deal, is replaced by being in the kitchen like Gino, by doing that work and losing it and not working, you know, in the business. He's not working on the business right now. And I think when that mind shift set from working, you know, in the business, all of a sudden going out and trying to scale up and finding new deals. And the thing that I love about Bill more than anything else is Bill could have rested on his laurels and said, I don't need any more education. I've been doing this for a while, but we all have inflection points in our life when we say to get to that next level, I need to invest in myself. I need to surround myself, that proximity with more people, different people, like-minded people and to really surround yourself. Like he said, Tony Robbins, he uses the Tony Robbins word of proximity, right? The five people that surround yourself. That's important in getting to that next level. And then all of a sudden, just continuing on being successful and finding out that networking is important. Those relationships are important in multifamily real estate, going to the long-term and finding that 39 unit deal and then saying, wow, I'm buying the right deal now in the right part of the market cycle, the right age, the right unit mix, the right residence, the right location. That's exciting. That's happening right now. And to continue with your education, to continue to grow is what's really, really cool about Bill's story.
Man, I love that. All right, Bill, listen, I heard you got a little gift for the listeners. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, we're during the transition here, you know, I have a new website coming out along with the website. I'm going to be, you know, giving away my Bill Hamill property management system. You know, this is, you know, something that I created, you know, just to run a fluid property management company. You know, that was the original intent over the last 10 or 15 years. So it was something that evolved over that period of time, you know, to allow the business to run fluidly, have a, you know, an answer or a solution to any issue, you know, in the business. You know, but as I transitioned out of property management and scaling up into multifamily, you know, I was able to package it up and hopefully share it with, you know, people who are just getting in the business or people that are in the business that are looking for solutions and answers to a lot of their questions that they run into on a daily basis. So, no, I'm excited for anybody to, you know, to utilize it for free.
I'm going to leave the website in the show notes. Bill, what is your email address? If anyone wants to reach out to you, ask any questions, learn about any opportunities that you have down the pipe and as far as investing, what's your email address?
It's bill@hamelrealestate.com. That's H-A-M-E-L, realestate.com.
Thank you.
All right, Bill, listen, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your movers and shakers story. Hey guys, listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a movers and shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.